This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast. My name's Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA. And this is my mentor, my tutor, my hero, Richard Mellon, PGMLO assessor and FA tutor. Rich,
hello.
Hi, Darren.
Now, just to say, we're recording this slightly before Christmas, just so you know, a bit of sense of time. What is it, the 10th of December today? It's dark outside and cold, and there's probably one or two people out on games this evening doing stuff, and we're stuck here in the warm with a nice cup of tea and some chocolate celebrations.
Yeah,
I've
had to take my coat off.
So, if you're a new listener, welcome along to the Referees World podcast. We try to do this as much as possible. We've had a rejuvenation recently with a new website, freshen things up, and we're trying to deliver more podcasts on a regular basis, which hopefully we're doing for you, and hopefully you're enjoying them. Based on the feedback we're getting on Twitter, we seem to be doing something right, which is good, based on the amount of countries that are listening the last time we looked, Rich.
Well, another little stat that I can give you, Darry, is that on Twitter alone, we've got over 2,470 followers.
That's a great result.
Hey!
It's a great result.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, hello, and thanks very much for following. Don't forget, you can like our Facebook page as well. Just search out Referees World Podcast. Mm. We're the only monthly audio magazine offering education and training for football referees of all levels. Okay, it's really important you take that on board. All levels, all right? And you can listen on your iPhone, your iPad. You can listen online through the website. Go to iTunes, search for Referees World, and you'll find us, and you can enjoy that way. Get involved in the conversation as well. If you want to get in touch, you can do that through the website, refereesworld.co.uk. As always, we'll start with Rich's ramblings, and this is a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one. I like this. I mean, I could throw at you the kit colours for the Aston Villa Southampton game, because I see there's a lot of discussion about that and the kit that the colour kit that Phil Dowd wore on that evening. Or I could throw at you something about the Dallas Cup. Take your pick.
Let's start with the Dallas Cup. I think it's important that we do the Phil Dowd thing, because just to recap and just to give an idea what we're talking about, there was a game a few weeks ago. And it was Aston Villa against Southampton. It was an evening midweek game, and the kit colours were the kit colours, okay? But the question was whether or not Phil Dowd was wearing the correct kit. You got involved on social media. We'll go back to that in just a moment. First, let's talk about the Dallas Cup.
Yeah, the Dallas Cup.
What is the Dallas Cup?
Well, the Dallas Cup is a youth tournament played in Dallas, Texas, USA, and has been for, I think this is the 34th Dallas Cup. And it's run at Easter or over the Easter period over there in the US. And conditions can range from quite cold, quite wet, to quite hot. And I experienced that a couple of years ago when I went across as an assessor. I went across there with my colleague Craig Cox, and we went over there and we were thoroughly looked after by our Texan friends.
In fact, you can listen back to previous podcasts from a couple of years ago and Rich talking about his experiences at the Dallas Cup.
Cool. I forgot about
that. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
There you go. See, that's how long we've been going.
Oh, well done. Well done, mate. Thanks for the reminder.
And you're still as handsome.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Try to.
A bit greyer, but.
There you go, yeah. Could do with a few sort of less pounds in certain areas, but hey, there we go.
So,
I just want to say to our colleagues that are going to the Dallas Cup, well done. Congratulations. It's extremely exciting times, I know. But when you get out there, you've got to knuckle down and get on with your work that you're out there to do.
How many refereeing colleagues would be going out to a tournament like this?
Well, the year I went, and I think that's still the same number, there are 8 level 4 referees selected from around the country by the FA. They go through a process of sort of submitting an interest in being considered for the Dallas Cup, and based upon what the regional groups, and when we, you know, talked to Martin Cassidy about this, he mentioned the selection for the Dallas Cup, and that all sort of came to light how that happens. But let's talk about the lad that we know down here, Kieran Sammons, mm-hmm. First year level 4, was asked, like all the guys in the academy, if you're interested in going to the Dallas Cup as a match official, please send us your application and why you should be selected. He sent his application in and was selected to go and referee at a pre-Dallas Cup tournament up at Warwick University a few weekends ago. He was looked at by the national managers of the FA and a few coaches, senior level four coaches at that competition. And Kieran was one of those guys successfully selected to represent the FA at the Dallas Cup next April in 2015.
So is it just UK-based officials then?
No. It's a huge cross-section of match officials and players from around the world. The competition, if you have a look at Dallas Cup, you can tap into it and you can see the quality of the teams. There are some seriously famous players that have come through the Dallas Cup. Spanish players, Portuguese players, internationals. David Beckham came through there. Wayne Rooney came through there. Raul came through there.
Oh, so the standard is very, very high.
The standard is extremely high.
Let's just touch on what Kieran's role will be there. Is he guaranteed a game when he gets there?
Yes. He will be put through his paces, and over a week he will be refereeing almost every day with a day's break in between. Mm. He will referee at least two games a day. Also, he will be an assistant referee.
A full two games a day?
Yeah.
A full 90 minutes?
Yeah.
Wow.
May not go back to back, but you could have one in the morning, one in the afternoon. Right. And, you know, they are full on games. And the facilities out there and the manner in which the American colleagues, the Texans, look after us is absolutely super.
Tell me about the nature of the stadiums that they'll be playing. Will they be stadiums as such, or will they be sort of lower league levels?
It's lower league levels, but the stadium that is used for the final is sponsored by Pizza Hut, and I cannot remember the name of the stadium off the top of my head, but it's there just outside Dallas. And I cannot remember the route of how to get there, but it's a very impressive stadium which is used. It would be suitable for professional games from this country if our teams wanted to go out there and play. And they do go out there and play. The year I went out there, Arsenal were out there. Eintracht Frankfurt played, and Tigres from Mexico were there. I can't remember. Nottingham Forest were there with some of the junior groups. There was some really, really very well-known teams, and it's a little bit sort of forgetful of me, but that's an age thing, why I don't remember things like that at the moment. But it's a very, very highly rated competition, that highly rated that the FA actually nominate 8 level 4 referees to go and referee in that competition. Yeah. And just on top of all that, there is also a delegation from the PGMOL. They send out 2 or 3 referees to gain experience of refereeing foreign players. Mm-hmm. Now, if you can imagine refereeing foreign players, if you're refereeing Mexicans or Germans, Italians, or whoever may be there playing, they have to communicate, not necessarily verbally, but with other methods. Mm. So imagine the language barrier. If you're refereeing a German side versus a Mexican side, and there's not much English understood, and you're Kieran Salmon's refereeing that type of game, or one of our other colleagues refereeing it, how do you communicate? The skills of communication.
That's an interesting
foreign
learning
players.
Curve, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, it's absolutely
because how
wonderful.
Would you know if they're not swearing expletives at you?
It's a wonderful experience, and I don't know if it's right to give you a little story of one of mine, but I refereed a tournament over in Holland a few years ago, and it was a German team versus a team from Sweden, and I didn't understand very much at all, but I can sort of blag my way around a little bit, and as the story goes, you'll see how I managed to blag myself into the situation of sort of gaining respect. And there was an exchange between two players, one from each side, obviously, and they stood up and they sort of stood there face to face like they do, pouting a little bit and sort of chest stuck out, I little me got in between them and said, hey, this is not going to happen. I don't know what you normally do when you play football, but I won't accept this type of behaviour. And I knew they understood a little bit of my English because everybody understands a little bit of English. But we have a responsibility to learn a little bit of what they, how they express themselves as well. And whilst the players sort of acknowledged what I was telling them, and I was giving them, it was admonishment for their slightly aggressive attitude, not overly aggressive, but slightly aggressive attitude and foul challenge. I said, okay, go away and play football. And as they turned away and started to play football, the German player said something and all his mates laughed. Now, I didn't know what he said, but from the reaction of all his playing colleagues, they all laughed, and I called him back and cautioned him.
Brilliant.
And he said, "You understand German?" Yeah. I said, "No," but I didn't admit that.
You should have just said, "Yes, better than you think."
Brilliant. So that was the perception, story. It's one of those little things that you learn.
But this goes down to reaction of players, and when you're in a position in a game where you're not entirely sure whether something happened, but the reaction of a player can give the game away.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a great example.
I believe that at the minimum, what you should try and learn is the basics of please, thank you, and et cetera, et cetera. But that's not just in football, surely. That's across the world that you learn the pleasantries and the courteous manners of certain things. I remember to this day that when I called the German player back and cautioned him, he said, "Do you understand German?" And I didn't admit I didn't, but he thought I did. I just smiled politely and held up the yellow card and cautioned him.
I clearly
remember his number as well. Yeah. He was number six, for this team.
Yes.
And at the end of the game, the Swedish player came up to me and said, "Thank you very much, referee." And it was as good at English as I've heard anywhere. And that's all he said. Now, whether or not he had more in his locker as regards he could speak better English than what he was letting out, I don't know. But
brilliant.
There you go, a little bit.
Great story.
Little bits. Can I just announce congratulations to our PGMOL colleagues, Lee Swaby, Peter Banks and Bobby Jones. Mm-hmm. They're the guys that have been selected from the PGMOL representation to go with their coaches, who will be led by Steve Dunn. And the level fours that I have here listed, and I know I've missed somebody out, at least one, maybe two, Andy Ellis, Shelby Elson, Lisa Benn, Josh Few, Jack Neal, Kieran Sammons, Richard Ely, and there's somebody else out there I know I've missed. So if I've missed you, I apologise. Perhaps if you're listening, which I hope you are, you'll get in contact with us and correct me for missing out your name.
From grassroots to the World Cup. This is the Referees World Podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
It's the Referees World Podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon. One more rambling that we need to go back to, okay? And this is the incident involving Phil Dowd's kit. Who would have thought that a football kit could have caused so much controversy? Well, this is the situation. It was a midweek game. It was Aston Villa versus Southampton. And I think it was a Tuesday night. And I remember sitting down to watch the game. And it started. Referee Phil Dowd. I'm thinking, whoa, what kit are you wearing? Now, just to describe, Aston Villa had their white shorts, claret and blue tops, claret and blue socks, okay?
Yep.
Playing at home.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Southampton, the away team, they were wearing yellow socks, yellow shorts, dark blue, navy blue tops, okay?
Yeah.
Phil Dowd's kit was as follows: black socks, black shorts, and a yellow top. Now, I freeze-framed the TV, took a picture and posted it to get some thoughts on as to whether or not Phil Dowd was wearing appropriate colours. And if you look at the picture on our Facebook page, you will see how easily that could have caused a bit of a problem. So my question was he wearing the right kit? Tom Vanderpeer, who pops up quite regularly on Twitter, he says, "Where's Dowdy?" Which pretty much says it, doesn't it? Paul James Gumbrell says, "No, not at all." Richard Mason says, "Couldn't wear black, it would clash with Southampton, or silver or blue clash with Villa slightly, so yellow would be the only one left, or would it? We'll find out in a moment." Darren Rudd says, "No, we all thought he should have been in pink." Dutch referee says, "If Southampton players were wearing their home outfits, there would have been no problem at all. I'd love to see that also in amateur matches. Stick to your original shirt colour unless there is a huge similarity with the opponent's shirt." Some good points raised there. But, Rich, over to you on this one, because in your professional opinion, was he wearing the correct kit?
Yeah.
You'd say he was?
Oh, I thought so. Okay.
But was that the right kit to wear, though, on that particular game?
Okay. Have any of the players, does anybody know if the players complained at the colour kit that Phil was wearing?
I don't know and I don't think so. I was looking at this from a referee's perspective.
I can look at this from both sides of the fence and say that, for me, looking at the photograph, Phil's wearing yellow, black, black. And Southampton are wearing navy blue, yellow, yellow. I personally, I don't think that's a clash. Not
but
personally.
It is quite a dark navy blue.
Okay. I can come into the conversation and say, yeah, I can agree with that. But on the football field, there are five colours. The home team, the away team, the home goalkeeper, the away goalkeeper, and the referee. Mm. There's the five colours. Now, let's go... How many kits do you think those boys have got in their bag available?
Select group.
Colour kits, yeah.
Select group. I would like to think at least three different coloured kits.
Okay.
Quite possibly more.
I think, and I haven't checked this out, to be perfectly honest, I think it's four that they have in their bag.
Okay. What colours are they?
They are black. Mm-hmm. So let's do a process of elimination. Could he wear black?
All black, I would have, based on that, I would have said, yeah, but it depends because I didn't see what the goalkeepers were wearing.
Okay.
So maybe what I should have done was taken some pictures of the goalkeepers as well. Then we could have had a better...
We could have had an argument.
Yeah.
But no, I personally don't think he could wear black.
Right.
Okay. Because I do think that, playing football, players look up, they look down. Now, this is a professional game. They like to play with their heads up. That's the theory, and that is the practice that these guys do. So that's why I don't think Phil Dowd was regarded by the players as wearing the wrong colour. Now, for us watching, that's where the clash comes in. There's a lot of yellow on that field of play.
Yeah.
There's 11 Southampton players wearing yellow shorts and socks, and there's a referee wearing a yellow top. Maybe that's why people think it was the wrong colour. Personally, I don't.
Okay.
Personally, I don't.
What other colour kits would he have had then?
He, as I say, he's got black.
Yeah.
He's got a white or a silver. I think it's white. I call it white stroke silver, not white or silver. But
now
it's
the
white
chances are there's a goalkeeper that possibly had a silvery coloured top or a white top or something.
Well,
so maybe.
We can't. What we don't have at the moment, and somebody listening to this podcast is going to say, "Oh, I can remember what the goalkeeper's wearing." Now, could the goalkeepers have been wearing orange? Could they have been wearing red? Mm. Could they have been wearing something that might have clashed with another one of his kits? Now, I don't know if the Aston Villa keeper wears white. I think he wears green. Brad Guzan wears green, I'm pretty certain he does, having watched him the weekend, I think, on Match of the Day. Now, what the Southampton goalkeeper would have worn... lime green. Mm-hmm. Again, could have been a red or an orange, so it doesn't clash with the opposition. So, you know, it's the options that are left to fill. But what I think, if I remember correctly from what I understand, is that the Premier League will advise the match officials of the colours that they suggest. They will suggest the colours that they should wear. And if the match official thinks there's a problem, he'll raise that issue with the Premier League and say, I'm not sure that it would be good to wear yellow on this occasion. But someone did say, as you pointed out, that why didn't Southampton wear their red and white stripes? I can't answer that question, but I can guess and say, is it to do with the fact that they might have two shirt sponsors? Across the middle of their shirt? Is it the same sponsor on the front, on the home shirt as the away shirt?
Ah, right.
And
no,
that might come into it.
Okay. I've never really recognised that. I didn't know you could do that.
They do. You could have John Smith's on your home shirt.
Yeah.
And let's say Bill Brown on your away shirt.
Well, while Rich has been talking, I've just been bringing this up online to have a look, and I'm not that familiar with the Southampton current kit, but Vigo looks like the home strip sponsor, and MUVR looks like the away strip sponsor. I didn't realise that.
That does happen.
I might be very wrong here, but I'm just looking at...
Yeah, it's not the same with every team.
Ah, interesting.
Not the same with every team, but it does happen. And, you know, that can be, you know... It's an advantage for the club to have extended sponsorship through different people. And that sometimes comes into play. You know, when you play your away games, we'll sponsor your kit.
Yeah.
And it's worth quite a significant amount of money in some of these professional game cases, situations. And maybe that was part of it. I don't know. I've not investigated that. But just a thought. Just a thought, yeah? So, other colours that he's got in his bag, we talked about black, we talked silver or white, if that's what you want to call it. I think he's got a yellow. Oh, he has got a yellow.
We know he's got a yellow.
Because he's got yellow, yeah. I can't remember the fourth.
Richard's got a pile of notes as high as the Eiffel Tower here.
What is the fourth colour? Green.
Green. Green. So the likelihood
now,
is...
Now, I think the green... Yeah, now...
Well, the goalkeeper, according to this kit that I've just brought up there, the Southampton goalkeeper possibly was in green. So yeah, that might be the reason why.
Brad Guzan could have been in green.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. But certainly one of the goalkeepers I would say was in green. That would be my expectation of what that was all about. And, you know, for me, that day, Phil wore the right kit, you know. And let me say to you, all our listeners out there, when you're not wearing the right kit, the players will tell you as regards if you're creating a colour clash you know, you're causing problems. Now, let's go a little bit further with the discussion.
I was going to say, let's talk about this now.
Let's go a little bit further with the discussion, because a lot of our colleagues refereeing at grassroots level will come against teams that wear socks and shorts that are very close in the same colour. Navy blue versus black. Mm. You know, how do you get around the problem of deciding if it's corner, goal kick, throw-in or what to one side or the other when players are tackling on the ground? And that's what happens at grassroots level. You know, you do have those colour clashes.
I've had a couple of situations prior to games where people have got a little upset because I've asked them to change the colour of their socks because of that reason. Because like you say, and this is on a game that was, I think it was like a quarter final or something like that of a cup, you know. People are going to slide in with tackles, aren't they?
Yeah.
You need to be able to identify what's what. And if you've got the same coloured socks on or things that are not distinguishable, then you could end up in a whole pile of bother.
A few years ago, when we had colour clashes, and this is, you know, this is no secret, I don't think. I think lots of referees have done this in the past. When we had colour clashes in the past of shorts and socks the same colour, we would ask one of the teams to put tape around their socks to distinguish them differently from the opposition.
Yeah, but the tape now has to be the same colour as the socks.
Yeah, that's what stopped.
And even that causes arguments.
Yeah, that does. Yeah, you know, wearing blue and white hoop socks, where does the blue and white tape go? I've seen people put blue tape on the white hoop. I've seen it. Honest. Some silly things go on. But you know, how do you sort out the colour clash? How do you avoid it? Because you know, it does cause you problems, you know, it needs to be sorted.
At grassroots level, are we allowed to take a different coloured kit?
The thing that I think this is a real sort of big debating point here. Why do referees?
Because it could prevent any issues further down the line. Let's say, for example, the away team has arrived with only the one kit. Mm-hmm. Okay, the home team either haven't got their spare kit available, where normally you could chop and change, and the one person that does have a different coloured kit just happens to be the referee. Would you advise in that situation as the referee? Let's distinguish things and make things clear for everybody and put that kit on.
Personally,
do you see where I'm going with
that? Yeah, I do. And I have a lot of empathy for the discussion and our colleagues out there that have these problems on a weekly basis. There's a couple of sort of separating discussions here in terms of grassroots. Grassroots referees, you're expected to wear black or black and white. And that's agreed by the FA Council, and that comes down through their rulings and judgments. And referees are not allowed to wear another colour other than black or black and white unless you're on the national list as a match official with the Football League or with the Premiership. Those are the only competitions that are allowed to wear different colour kits.
But, right, if you're trying to encourage young referees to come up through the system and to prevent those referees getting a backlash from teams at an early stage, surely if there was that extra kit available, it could prevent.
This is where I've got some empathy for those referees out there that want a different colour kit. And don't get me wrong,
I'm not trying to stir it all up, but no. You know, it's a good topic of conversation.
Yeah, of course it is. And like I say, I'm not living in the past and saying we wore black, you've got to keep wearing black. No, I believe in moving with the trends of football. Now, there are a number of county FAs around the country that have requested consideration to allow referees to wear a different colour other than black. Now, I support that move.
Interesting.
I support that move personally, but all the time that I'm instructed to make sure that the referees wear the appropriate coloured kit as per FA rule, then we will oblige by that. I would not encourage. I know there are some guys out there, and I could name them, and they know who they are if they're listening. And I know some of them have worn yellow shirts refereeing out locally in the Oval area. Mm. And that's as close as I'll say it is. You cannot wear another colour other than black.
Just tell me what the what would happen if you did.
I think you might be pulled in front of the referees committee and asked to explain your actions. Mm. And there's a possible charge.
Really?
There was a possibility, yeah, because, you know, you're not complying but let's with say, what's expected.
I mean, would you as the referee have to report the fact that you did that? Or because, you know, let's be honest about it. The two teams, let's supposing that situation arose. Okay, it prevented any uncomfort prior to the game. The referee decided to change the kit. Both the teams were happy. They went on. They had a really good game of football, a great result at the end of it. Everybody was happy. Mm. The likelihood is that the teams are not going to report the fact that the referee wore a different coloured kit, are they? Okay.
Football is about people enjoying playing football, yeah, and officiating football. That's first and foremost. You know, that's what this is about. But there comes a time whereby there are some people that stick by tradition. And tradition means that referees at grassroots level wear black or black and white. And until that's changed, I have to agree with the reasoning behind it, that they don't want it changed because, although I may not agree with it, because I want to see change, I want to see options available to referees, I also don't want referees to become, what can I say, showmen. Mm. That's football is not about referees and
that
being showmen.
Is the phrase I was looking for just now when I was trying to describe that whole scenario of a referee coming out in his pink top or whatever it is. You know, people thinking, oh, look at the referee, he's a showman. And that's a great expression because you don't want that.
No, but there are some people out there that think they're a showman and they take that mantle. And I personally don't agree with that. Mm. We are there to officiate. We are there to do the job as best possible. We are there to enjoy it. We're there to enjoy the company of the players and vice versa. And we do it under a set of regulations. And that's what it all comes under. And, you know, until those regulations are changed, we're obliged to follow what we're told. Let me take this one notch further up. We have supply league football, contributory league football. Now, to buy these tops costs some money. Let's average a cost of, say, £40, £50 per top. Now, the referee, he gets a healthy match fee, mm-hmm, and he buys himself the appropriate yellow top. So how many tops will you buy? How many tops as an alternative will you allow within the game? Because let's say you can have your black top, you can have your yellow top. But what if you're refereeing a team that play in black and yellow stripes and a team against a team in blue? You know, you're making problems for yourselves as regards what colours will we wear. But when a referee goes out there and buys a top, he has to pay out the money. Now, at contributory level, he's one in three people. Do all those three people have the same opportunity to buy all the same kit, or does it different shades, different manufacturers, different brands, all sorts of things come into it? Sticking with black is safe. Now, let's go to the other side of the coin here. And I'm certainly not trying to open a can of worms here, but why do the county FAs allow teams to register black as a kit colour or dark navy blue, which causes problems for referees? Mm. Why do they allow it? It's all about sponsorship, in my view, but, you know, I might be wrong there. What do the listeners think?
There you go.
And it's a big debate.
Yeah,
big
it's a debate. Huge debate. And it's one that we hadn't really planned, to be honest. It's just happened this way because we've now come to the end of this particular episode. It is the Referees World podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellin. Please, if you've got any views on any of the bits that we've talked about in this particular episode, particularly with the kit colours, then by all means, jump on board, get involved, get in touch with us through the website, refereesworld.co.uk, on Twitter, @refereesworld, and you can like our Facebook page and we'll catch up with you again in our next episode.
The download is complete.